just a little side note, but there's a theater in Wisconsin where I'm from that did Aida. That couldn't supplement the cast with black actors.
Did they brown up?
No, the show affectionately became known as Waida.
Oh, no! That sounds even blacker, and actually.
Yeah, I know! And the new...
You were the girl.
All the...
Welcome to Hey You Know It. My name is Jaquetta Sotmar, and I'm here with my co-host,
Katie Kazmere. Hey You Know It is a podcast that tells you how it is or how it should be.
You can listen to Hey You Know It on iTunes, a new episode every Monday.
And here they are, Jaquetta and Katie.
Okay, listeners, today we have a special guest in the Hey You Know It studio, yep. Eric Robinson from Face Off Unlimited. Welcome.
Hey, thank you,
thanks
guys.
Thanks for coming in.
It's nice to be here.
Yeah, in this humid, hot room.
It's good. It works for me. I like it. It's cozy.
And I just want to say, the reason why we're happy or lucky to have him in the studio today is because we saw the show Batsu.
All right.
For Katie's birthday.
For my birthday back in January. Now, I've heard about Batsu from a variety of sources. I actually was at work, and one of the guys came running up to me on a Monday. Katie, have you seen Batsu? You like comedy. Have you seen Batsu? I'm like, I've heard of it. I haven't seen. He's like, oh, you got to go. You've got to go and
I
see
like
this.
That. You like comedy. You like humor.
So I said, all right, that's on my list. I want to go and see this. So we got tickets for my birthday.
Yeah.
And
I went. A bunch of our friends went, and we had quite a lot of
the sake.
The free sake. Yes.
And before and during and after.
Yes. And Katie, we made Katie go on stage.
Right. You
and
came up and
I did.
You did schoolyard insults, right, if I recall.
I think so.
And like, the guessing game, I think we were on the same team.
We were on the same team. Yeah. And I do remember just...
You remember some of that?
I remember some of it, and
it's kind of a blur, usually. The mix of the alcohol and the adrenaline and the crazy screaming and the hyper stimuli around.
It's hard to explain. Why don't you explain a little bit about what the show is for people who may not be familiar?
Sure. So, Batsu is a improv-based live Japanese game show. So it's a show that... well, really, there's nothing like it anywhere that we know of. It was a show that was designed for the space. We had access to the space, and the owner of the venue said, "Hey, he liked what we did in our other comedic ventures," and he said, "Can you guys do something here?" And so we looked at the space, and I think the original idea came from my partner Jay. There's three partners in the company: myself, Jay Painter, and Joe Tex. And he said, oh, a Japanese game show. And so from that point on, we built kind of one block at a time this concept. And we're a small company, so we didn't really have any money for publicity or press or ads or anything. So we just we knew the product was good. And, and as people came, it sort of evolved, and we learned different ways that we could bend the concept. The concept being... comedians competing, that's where we're trying to get. The concept being comedians competing against each other, and when they fail at the challenges they're given or the audience doesn't like what they do, they get punishment. Batsu
they
means
sure do.
They get real, and it's no joke. It's no joke.
I think one of you guys got shot with like paint gun pellets or something.
That's not even that high up the chain in terms of what we subject ourselves to.
There was a giant rubber band around someone's nipples, and then it got snapped. It got real.
Yeah, we got crazy, and we're always adding new characters and new punishments. And
wasn't there was another punishment where somebody had to eat sushi off
a body? Yes,
a body.
Yes. Usually a very hairy body. So it's pretty intense. Yeah. But it's perfect for the East Village. It's like I said, going back to, we designed it for the space. Mm-hmm. We designed it for the area. We designed it for the feeling of that neighborhood. And it really works.
It totally works. I was surprised at how much I enjoyed seeing people get hurt. I did not know that about myself.
Everybody does.
Because I thought I would feel bad. I mean, I've seen these kind of shows before where it's like there's some kind of a physical punishment, and you, usually you're like, oh. But like 15 minutes into it, I'm yelling, Batsu, yeah, Batsu, like, get the nipples. It,
exactly, exactly.
What's wrong with me? Think it's going to be okay. You think, well, they're doing it, and they've experienced it. They know what they're supposed to be doing. But it's still, you're going to still get hurt.
You see the marks.
Yeah, right. Oh, it's real. It's real. And it feeds the crowd. Feeds off bloodlust. Yeah. They really do. It's the mob. It's exactly why the Colosseum worked. It's totally that.
And it's sanctioned also like the Nazis. Like, it's all right. It's all right.
You can enjoy this.
Yeah. People are doing it out of, you know, you guys want to be.
We are obviously the modern Third Reich.
Obviously. of comedy. You know?
It was truly, it was such a fun, and the stuff that you were doing, all the exercises.
Yes, the work.
The work.
The actual
the
work.
The actual work, the comedy work, was hilarious. I mean, everyone from the table got up like, oh my God, that was probably the funniest thing.
We actually were sitting, because we were quite a large group, but we were sitting with another large group, and like, we kind of started talking to the other people at the table. You know, it was just like a very communal atmosphere, and then we're all conspiring, of course, to get Katie on stage.
Yes.
It was like the whole point of the entire evening. You know, to see your friends up there participating in the craziness. Drunk.
Absolutely. Drunk, and with the headband that slid upwards.
No, totally. Yeah, it slowly starts to
get some wax on, right up. You know?
You know, it's so interesting what you said there about the audience. You know, you get an audience come in, it's a bunch of two tops or three tops, little dates or whatever. And there's something about going through that experience. What you just described is exactly what we see over and over again. And I think it's such a great illustration of human behavior. You know, when the whole group is chanting together and they sort of synergize, the whole audience synergizes. And all of a sudden, when you leave the show, your relationship is very different than that cold sort of unfamiliarity that you see living in New York constantly. It's like all of a sudden this room is a group. It's an organism, you know what I mean?
And I would say if you're having like a big group, like I didn't know some of Katie's friends that were there, but it didn't matter. You know, by halfway through the meal, we were, you know, had a plan.
Totally.
We were doing shots together. We were sharing the headbands.
Totally.
And I think I made a connection with two of the women. We were like, let's go get bras next week. That's what comes out of that.
You know, every night I find myself having that conversation. It's the weirdest thing.
It's just natural.
Yeah.
You know, it comes out of the work.
I don't know.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
So I want to ask, how did you get into doing improv and comedy?
Okay. So I myself have been doing it for years. I started as a teenager doing it. Have you guys ever heard of comedy sports?
Yeah, of course.
So I was involved with
comedy
sports.
We are old veterans of
I first saw them.
Yeah.
That was my first comedy.
Obviously, you know, comedy sports isn't the original. Theater sports predates comedy sports. But it was the first sort of franchised, short form, you know, real commercial improv. So if you don't know, Hey You Know It is very accommodating with their treatment of guests. I mean, there is this coffee beverage that might be toxic. There's a bottle of water. There are Surf Sweet gummy bears, which I'm afraid to open because of the noise that
it will be. No, bring it on.
And then the dark chocolate, which looks like a really premium.
Yeah.
Basically, what we have here are stimulants for you and then water. We don't want you, in the middle of the podcast, kind of slump over.
Yeah.
You're going to run out of here.
Yes. Oh, yeah. Clearly.
We're going to record an hour and 25 minutes.
We're going to talk faster and faster and faster and faster and faster.
So you started this. You started years and years and years ago. And you've been back on stage.
Right.
And you know what? I was part of a group that. I have to say, this is like the mid-90s. We came up with a brilliant idea for our improv group that was prior to the internet revolution. So,
Which changed / ruined / made everything better.
Correct. Yeah, right? Changed everything. Yeah. It was right when, you know, people were just – it was before Safari. It was before, pretty much before the Mac – you know, it was when people were still trying to figure out how to,
Yahoo!
Like you used AOL pretty much to search the web, you know, that Dial-up. Yeah. I mean, remember those days?
Yeah, I do. I'll be right back. Let me plug this in.
Right, I've got to plug my phone line.
Yes, exactly. Nobody can call our house for the next 2 hours because I'm going to be in a chat room.
Yeah, talking to some guy my age, sexual location.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. Back then, the idea that we had for our company was dot comedy. Which I think is genius.
Did you buy it?
No, nobody knew how to buy things back then.
You know, that's right. That only happened.
You didn't know how to. So we called our company because it was in .com. Everything was .com. And we were like, .dot comedy. That is the best name for a comedy company. We were horrible.
You had a name.
We had a damn good name, though. We did. We practiced in the basement of a church. Only what we had seen and no idea of improv technique. None of us had done any formal studying. We just loved it, though. We were teenagers who just loved to do it.
We don't need stinking training for this.
We're just gonna do it.
Actually, we're not even going to rehearse. We're just going to go up on stage and do it.
Right.
We're going to improv.
But it was games, so it was short for. So we had as you mature as an improviser, experientially mature.
Two prob is waiting for us.
Yeah.
You begin to learn, especially in gameplay, what works and what doesn't, how to play play the game of the rules of the game.
I'm no butt. Right.
You're no butt. You're no butt. Do you do improv?
Yeah, I've done improv. I did classes at UCB. I did it for a while. Katie's seen me, and I've seen Katie. She did a lot of work at the Magnet.
Yes, of course.
So we have improv-esque background.
Very cool. Very cool.
I did a lot of short form back in Aspen, back in the early
90s. Nice.
As a young,
young lady.
Yeah, that's definitely where Face Off has its roots, for sure, in that same kind
that
of short form.
Yeah.
Style, but we booked this little troupe. We booked a paid gig, somehow.
Your team troupe?
Yes,
that's awesome.
For a Valentine's Day banquet.
They didn't know.
They wanted comedy, and it was through the church. I think the church that we rehearsed them, and they were like, it was a big event. I think they gave us a couple $100, and we went.
The nice boys in the basement.
Yeah. Oh, there were girls too. Yes.
Let's help these kids out.
That's what when you're a teenager, and you find out the bounty. Women in the theatrical realm.
How do guys not know that?
No, it's not known.
And it's also
if machismo football players had any idea,
but it's like that
women, athletics would fall apart.
The 80s
in this country.
Movies when a guy is I'm going to take ballet, and they're like, that's stupid. It's like, yeah, whatever, man. Yeah. I'm the only dude, and
there's
like
one straight dude in that room who's just the luckiest guy in the world. It's true. And the
like
same
that
goes
musical theater guy, that one straight guy.
Totally, I was that guy. I did the musical theater stuff as well, and it was just. Grew up and I was kind of, went to a school that closed down and I went to a new school and didn't have any friends and was awkward and very, very unattractive and, all of these issues. And then all of a sudden I found, but I'm telling you, there was a change. I got into community theater and all of a sudden I was the only straight guy. Like it was like,
gentlemen take heed.
Everything turned around and all of a sudden caught my confidence. I was, everything. All of a sudden I had a choice of young ladies, which is not true. I still tell myself that, but that really wasn't the case.
It seemed that way.
But it felt that way because I was so far on the other extreme.
And they were like, there's this one dude who's probably not gay.
And they're all trying to do scenes with you because they're
right. I remember one of the first musical theater shows I ever did was Joseph and the Amazing Technicolor Dreamcoat.
Nice.
Community theater. Big in community theater because everybody loves it. It sells lots of tickets. There's a huge cast. So on the community theater level, all their families come. So you'll just sell a lot of, you got the children's chorus.
Oh, sure.
It's just a great, it's a great business move to do Joseph. And that was one of the first shows I ever did. And, there's the 12 brothers.
Yeah.
And is it eight?
That's
disciples or brothers. I can't imagine.
The tiny family. Yeah.
There's a couple of guys around.
And each one has a wife, right? And so, So that's a huge cast, first off. But as one of the only straight guys in the cast,
you're like, I'm like,
so who wants to be who wants to be my wife? That's because they were, and it was just like, seagulls going towards bread on the ground. They all just came in.
That's
they
the
were
best
all
part. You want to be Joseph.
So. Yeah. I would much rather be backstage cavorting with all the young ladies.
Yes,
man. I don't know how we got into theater, but I love this. This is great. There was a lot of opportunity for a young
man. How did you guys all meet each other?
So Jay and I, my partner Jay, and I met doing a regional theater on Long Island, Port Jefferson, Long Island. And we were doing a ton of shows, and we hired as company members.
Okay.
So even though that theater hired actors outside of their company to staff their shows, their core was in every show.
Okay.
And that was kind of really economically smart for them. They also sent us out on tour. We did Shakespeare, and we did children's theater.
This is all coming out of Long Island? Wow.
Tremendous.
Actually
a really tremendous experience for a young actor who's trying to just build his rep and experience his stage time chops.
Yeah.
It's totally true. Yeah. And every actor, I feel like, needs to go through something like that. Now, at one point, I think we had like 15 or 16 shows in rep, like in our heads.
Wow.
Where it'd be like
Long Island.
It was crazy. And
Long Island's crushing it.
I know.
Totally.
In the rep.
Totally. Totally. And
you can see Our Town, Long Island, any day of the week. Three productions going strong.
That's right.
One's in Yiddish. One's black.
One's always Yiddish.
Yes.
Much more likely Yiddish than black, I think.
Yeah. I threw that one in for people. We are not out there doing theater.
Let's look forward to the future, I think.
The future of black theater is Long Island.
Just a little side note, but there's a theater in Wisconsin where I'm from that did Aida. That couldn't supplement the cast with black actors.
Did they brown up?
No. The show affectionately became known as Waida.
Oh no, that sounds even blacker.
And
actually,
I know. And the new all the Nubians look like they were from northern Minnesota.
I love it. Waida. I want to do that. I want to do Waida. We should do white versions of black stuff.
They just took all the...
white raisin in the sun.
They're right. Exactly. Yes. Exactly. They took all the traditional African music and they sort of added polka underscoring to it.
Oh,
wow.
Your
Polish.
People got
my people.
Katie's people.
I'm Polish and Italian. So.
Oh, right.
Yes, those are my people.
Yep. The good parts.
Where I come from is very Polish as well. It's a very Polish neighborhood. So.
Just the neighborhood.
Just the demographic.
Not you got dropped in there.
My first girlfriend, her name was, last name was Lignowski. Lee Lignowski, yep. So there was a lot of Polish families where I came from. I'm not Polish, but.
Just got in the mix.
Yeah.
Like Polish people.
Right.
Polish.
Right. Polish. Lots of bratwurst.
Yeah. Lots of kielbasa and pierogies.
For sure. We, as if we weren't busy enough doing all this repertory theater, there was an open stage in the beautiful old classic space, thrust stage in the theater that was just really pretty much not being used for anything. And we went to the people who ran the theater, and we said, hey guys, we have this idea, because we spent so much time on the road driving to these gigs where we sort of imagined the concept of this show.
Yeah.
But we went to them and said, hey, can we mount the show? As if we weren't doing enough. And they said, okay, whatever. And we asked they gave us a keg of beer.
Enjoy.
Yes, right. And they had it left over from a party or something.
Yeah.
So we had this keg of beer and we had the space. You know, the lights were not focused. The soundboard was an old rickety, like, it just was not a very well-maintained. I mean, they use it once a year for a one-act festival or something, but it was really just not parties and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But we really went in there and we kind of took over the space, and we went out on the street and we handed out flyers that were like free beer, free show.
Yep. Okay. That's how it's done.
Yeah, you know, to see this thing.
Yeah.
Come and drink this keg with us, and when it's dry,
we don't know how much is left
in
this keg.
Totally.
And we some beer in here.
Right. Yeah. And we had auditions, put an audition posting. Like six people showed up. We cast all of them. 100% casting.
Those are the best kind of auditions.
Yeah, half of the people had never even done anything on stage ever. You know?
They were willing.
They were willing. And we did it for 5 weeks straight. And at the end of the 5 weeks, it was completely packed, like so every seat.
That's awesome.
Well,
that's
probably
amazing.
Mostly because of the free beer. But
You know what? You don't know that,
right? We don't know that. But but what I think was
might have been despite the free beer.
Totally, yeah. Totally.
We're gonna go anyway.
Yeah. I don't care if there's free beer.
And the theater kind of took notice. I think mostly, yes, mostly like, because the people who were coming to the show were a younger demographic. Mm-hmm. And if you know most community theaters, people who are coming in are not teenagers and
people are writing their wills like in the acts.
Exactly. You have to, you know, people on oxygen. Well, they want
you know. The or the or the
you know, the ringing ear battery is low.
What did Romeo say?
I know. It's the worst. So funny.
Gotta go. Again to the bathroom.
That's going to be us when we're old, going to see, like, you know, revivals. You're like, what are you doing?
I know. We're all going to be there eventually. Yeah. It's so true. Hopefully they'll invent a earpiece that doesn't ring like that. I mean, that's the most annoying
thing
in the
world.
Or
they can just shout.
Yeah.
We can all be in the front.
So yeah, the theater, they love the show. They like the demographic, mm-hmm. I think, so we got an extension, basically, and they kind of stepped in. No, we had another round of auditions. We brought in a ton more people the second time around. And we also actually had to let go of some of those original people, which was really kind of a dark, sad moment in our history.
Probably for them too, because they were like, "We weren't that great. We showed up first."
I know. I mean, but some
that would
exactly.
Totally be me.
Exactly.
I'm not trained. But come on, that was me. Yeah.
So true.
You're
nothing without me.
But that show, Friday Night Face Off, to this day still runs every Friday night, and it's the longest running short form improv show in Long Island history. I mean, not that there's all. You know,
you don't know that once again. It's Long Island, I think it happened.
Right. But it's now, and the show started in 2003. So we're in 12 years.
It's amazing for a group just to stay together.
I know. Well, many casts have changed. Many people have come in and out.
Though.
But the production, and it still continues to, you know, 60, 50, 60, 70 people come in every week. And just, you know.
That is awesome.
That's FridayNightFaceoff.com. We've actually, that show is awesome. And that show launched our company. Basically, I went on I was a singer on Norwegian Cruise Lines.
Why am I not surprised? Wow.
A few years later. And
they just grabbed you.
What kind of, were you strolling through? I've been on two cruises. Like, in the main stage?
Yeah, I did the main stage shows. Nice. The best show, by the way, is the best job in the world.
I've heard that from comedians, too, that it's awesome to work on cruise shows.
It's stupid. It's
unfair. They need podcasting.
I know, right? I wish podcasting
from the helm today.
Yeah.
Totally.
On the
Wild
deck.
We have lots of water.
Yeah.
And shores.
We're at sea today.
It's wavy.
There's a lot of sunshine, everybody.
Yeah.
Sunshine today.
There'll be 8 meals today, the customary 8 meals.
Oh, totally. Exactly. And while I was on that ship, Second City, you know, has a relationship with Norwegian Cruise Lines. And I saw their show on the ship and was sitting back and was just all I could think while I watched their show is that we're better than these guys. I know we are. Like, and so as soon as I got off that ship, I came back and met with Jay and said, dude, we got to do this thing. And that was how Face Off, the company, was born.
Face Off does a ton of things here. So you have Batsu. You have the 11th Hour improv show.
Right. Which is opening up at its new location next week, the week after next.
Cool. Oh, my gosh.
So that's going to be, and that's opening up at Jaban. We're bringing it to Jaban.
Oh, nice. Okay.
Cool. And, of course, you got to tell us about Nads.
Yeah, we do hashtag penis news, so this will substitute as our penis news.
Right. Hashtag penis news. Yeah.
I see.
And then we're
on the
move, dick updates, scrotum stories,
of course.
And now Nads.
Of course.
Notes from the Nads.
You know what? There's so much attention paid to the dick itself.
Yes.
The Nads themselves are often neglected.
We give it their due.
Yeah.
On the podcast.
So Nads is sort of inspired, you know, with Batsu, that when you fail at the comedy or you're not, successful at the challenge, you are punished.
Okay.
Nads was sort of a little spinoff off that concept.
I'm
scared. Where instead of being punished, you have to take some clothes off.
All right.
Are you kidding me? It's a good old-fashioned striptease kind of thing.
Exactly.
It's a little bit of, as they say, a little bit of Whose Line Is It Anyway with a little magic mic.
Yeah. Wow. Yes. And our NADS, which are the name, what we call the cast members.
I thought it was an acronym for something
advanced. No, one of the
society.
Yeah, if you refer to one of the actors in the show, that is a NAD. If there are more than one, those are the NADS.
Okay, I like it.
Look at all those NADS on stage.
Yeah. Exactly. Totally. That's
a bare net if I ever saw one.
And it was, you know, mostly designed for, you know, bachelorette parties and, you know, sort of nights out on the town. It was in, it's been on production hold for a little while. We ran for several months last year. And we basically, one of our NADs booked a television series, and he had to go out to the West Coast.
Get work, you know what I mean?
I know, that's the thing.
They don't get a lot of exposure.
Yeah, sometimes, yeah, when an ad sees the light of day, he runs for it.
Yeah, I would too if I were an ad, you know.
Sometimes you just need to get out of that dark, sort of tepid, you know.
Yeah, keep it rolling.
Theater that it's in, you know. So we very much intend on for lack of a better word, remounting. Mads.
Oh, you got to let us know, and we'll make a video.
Yeah.
Oh, for
he
sure.
Might show up and get a look at some Mads.
For sure. Maybe we'll get you. We'll get you in. Yeah. We'll give you an eyeful of Mads for sure.
Okay, an eyeful. Yeah.
We've got to talk about. Oh, wait, there's another show. You got Goon River.
Right, Goon River. We do seasonally.
Like Goon River.
Yeah,
it's a classic. Yeah.
So, have you guys heard of the Spoon River anthologies?
Of course. Yeah. You can't be in theater and not know Spoon River.
So this is you give us Spoon River.
Right. So, do you know what the notable sort of feature of one of the Spoon River anthologies is? Off the top of your head?
No. Oh, this is like a classic.
Yeah,
I feel like I'm unprepared.
Yeah, sorry. No, maybe
I
should have.
So, I'm not going to tell you.
So I almost don't. Maybe, no, how about this? How about we encourage the listener to go look it up? I'm not going to spoil it. That's sort of one of the conceits of the show. But basically, Goon River is storytelling in the fully improvised three-act storytelling in the pitch black. So there's no script. The actors sit among the audience, and the lights go to pitch black, and you just hear the story unfolding around you.
Oh, cool!
Does anyone in the audience ever get into it?
Totally.
Because you can't. You don't. Know
oh, you mean
who's
participate?
To be in it, and who's not supposed to be in it?
That has not happened where somebody has
we
sort
have
of interjected. The improvisers are trained in such a way that it's delivered with such, I feel like it's delivered with such poise and confidence that it's so beautiful you don't want to mess it up.
Okay.
I feel like when the way we sort of work with the actors to deliver these fully improvised characters, it's so artful, you know, that if you're the sort of drunk asshole who just sort of is, you know, screaming and interrupting the art, you would have a sense of it's you know, like you go to the movie theater and there's like the people who talk,
the movie ruiners,
right?
Yeah.
The movie
black
ruiners.
People.
This is
I'm not. You know what? I have been that person before, and now that my husband has been living with me long enough, he's white. He was talking in the movie theater. I'm like, what's wrong with you?
Stop it.
Are you kidding? He's like, it seems natural. I'm like, it's not.
That the movie theater allows for it more than this environment does. Like it's real. It's so quiet in the space.
And where is it?
There's no
theater?
There's nothing else to strike. It's in. It's
or in
yeah. We've done it.
Space.
We've done it in many different spaces.
Okay, you can do it anywhere.
Anywhere where we can go to pitch black and the
wow, that's cool.
It's really cool, and it really is something special. It's something that we developed and are very proud of, but we do like to do it during Halloween season because it's kind of creepy.
Tale from their campfire, people.
Oh my
exactly.
God.
Segment.
Exactly.
Like, that's awesome.
That's
we have really to check great. That out.
Yeah. It's
we
really
have so much to see now.
I know.
We'll have to get our
NADs
posse
are first.
Together.
Yes. You always start
after
with
we've
the NADs.
After we've seen NADs, we can see whatever. We've got that covered.
You're listening to Hey You Know It with Jaquetta Sotmari and
Katie Kazmir.
We're telling you how it is and how it should be.
People ask us, where is the Hey You Know It studio?
They do. They do all the time. And we tell them it is Funkadelic Studios.
And it's in the crook of the arm of Times Square.
That's right. Nestled. Lovely.
Laying in the cut, chilling. Hey.
Yeah. It's 209 Ooh. West 40th Street, 5th floor. And they have rehearsal space, recording space.
Yeah. And they have jams.
And they usually have an open mic on a Saturday. You should check their schedule.
Yeah.
They have... jams and open mics for all ages. Sometimes they have it for women, for
certain genres sometimes, and it's just a really awesome place. We record here, but you can do a lot of different things. So you can practice here. They do have professional recording stuff. They will help you with things. Yeah. Like they do everything.
They do everything, and they're really great people.
And they're nice to us.
Yeah, check out Funkadelic at funkadelicstudios.com.
Hey, before I go jam at Funkadelic Studios, I listen to Hey You Know It with Jaquetta and Katie.
And, you know, Jaquetta and I are afraid of the upcoming robo-apocalypse.
Yeah, we're freaked out by technology. Yes. We love it, and we're awfully scared by it as well.
Right. You know? So we'd like to bring our listeners the news on what's going on with robots.
Yeah.
Right.
And we know that you have a special line on robots.
Yeah, we are on the inside, for sure.
Oh, my God. This is kind of freaking me out, because we've talked before on previous shows about the robots and them becoming self-aware.
Yeah.
How they interact with you and who's programming them and why.
One attacked a woman earlier this year in Korea. She passed out on the floor, tried to eat her hair.
Yeah,
and then I heard that a guy was actually crushed by a robot like a week ago at a factory while he was putting it together.
Right.
Picked him up and threw him.
And there's the little...
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
Picked him up and threw him.
Picked him up and threw him.
I'm sure it had devious intentions.
We don't know what these are.
You know, DARPA's working on their...
On everything.
On everything. And then they have the little one, the little desktop one that is...
Jibo?
That sits there at home?
Basically, we've communicated with them a lot, that company. We know them quite well.
What has Jibo said?
Okay, so, yeah. What's going on?
You guys I'm just saying you shouldn't leave this room because there's about 10 Jibos
outside
that door.
There's 10 Jibos out there. I wouldn't be surprised.
Granted, they're only 6 inches tall, but they will nibble at your ankles.
They probably listen to quality podcasts, so they've heard us. You know?
So this little robot, you know, becomes part of the family. And mm-hmm. we see the sad little child like, you're my only friend.
And then your mother's a bitch.
Like, go to the knife in the kitchen.
Yeah.
Well, I feel much more positive about the coming robot revolution.
Real. Okay. It's a revolution.
It's a revolution. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. See how they positioned it?
It's a revolution. You know, you guys know they do the love backwards and.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
No, you guys disagree.
Oh, well,
yeah. It's the robots are going to be, they're going to replace our jobs in a lot of ways. But they're also going to...
I don't have a job, so good luck with that.
There you go. We were just talking about, you know, in the room, the podcast that I'm involved in, we were just talking about Uber. You know, Uber has an attempt by 2025 is going to be...
Yeah, that's their end game.
Yeah.
It's not just having people drive the cars. It's having robots do it, or the cars drive themselves.
Get your own car with its robot driver. You don't have to go to Uber. And are they going to rate you? Are those robots going to rate you? Be like that? B?
Yeah. As a guest?
Yeah.
Because don't they, that Uber rates you as a guest.
No,
that's why you're a ticket.
Why would a robot would have to have an emotional spectrum mm-hmm. to be able to have an objective or subjective opinion.
Well, it's not going to, it's just going to be random.
It's like when you do like those BuzzFeeds, house in Harry Potter should you be a part of?
Yeah.
It doesn't really matter what you put in. Yeah. It's got to give out so many Slytherins. And so
yeah,
many
you get a Slytherin, and that's it.
Yeah, and then you tell, share it with everybody, and you believe it's true.
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah.
It's random.
Yeah, see, that would be tragic.
That's what we're expecting. You also have to remember, too, as women, we're always just afraid that robot's going to grab our boob or something.
Yes.
That's where we...
Afraid? Now, afraid of that? Why would you be afraid?
Because we're afraid of the people who make them.
The people who make them
We think they would also grab a boob.
Whatever's going on with them. Is coming out through the robot. Because what a robot's made for? Search and rescue.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Medical procedures.
Mm-hmm.
What is the other...
They can make a good drink, though.
Opening jars.
And sex.
And sex.
Yeah. Sure.
All
the sex bots are way advanced.
Right.
They're like way ahead on this. Search and rescue is lagging.
The sex always...
It's always at the forefront.
Yeah, always as a driving, penises in general.
Exactly.
You know,
we reported on the robotic penises.
Yeah. They're everything starts there.
Yeah.
Including human life, I think.
Yeah.
You know?
It's scary.
Yeah.
So these robots are interacting with us more. They're acting more like a person, and this is where you guys come in.
Yes.
And so, tell us about that.
Well, we have been We went into a contract last year with Aldebaran Robotics, which is based out of Paris. They have humanoid robots.
It's called Aldebaran?
Aldebaran. Yep.
Wow, doesn't sound French.
Yeah. It's actually a star. That's way out.
Oh.
It's,
okay.
It's a name. It's we just named it off. It's sort of the expanse of galaxy. You know what I mean?
Okay.
It's sort of a. I think it's a nod to. You know, the vastness of this new industry,
okay.
The new field of how far it can go. And they brought us on as improvisers. They wanted improvisers. They had learned that, you know, improvisational techniques and elements allow for thinking that could diverge into any number of different paths with
okay.
the conversation.
So that makes sense.
Okay.
Yeah. So,
but as I said before, I feel like improvisers are much, much more clever than regular people. And
right,
so it's
right,
not,
right.
It, you know what
that's
I mean? Like, it's
well,
not
I think
an
that's,
accurate reflection
right,
of, like, your average boring-ass
right.
person.
Right. Well, well, that's why they hired improvisers and not regular
yeah.
people. You know, like, that's why they come to people like us who kind of think that way. Okay, we have this starting point. There are essentially an infinite amount of directions mm-hmm. that this conversation could go. So we want to create the illusion of artificial intelligence by the robot has gesture or has a recognition technology, voice recognition, face recognition technology. So using the combination algorithms to identify what the person is saying and respond in such a way, the writing is crafted in such a way that the human responses would then be quite limited, but still appear mm-hmm. to have the illusion of going
in different directions.
In different
That's
directions.
Interesting.
So the basically the end result being this robot looks like it's thinking, you know what I mean? And then, of course, we also have been given the emotional profile on the robot, which is this is how we want the robot to appear to people. So, in other words, we don't want in a good way. We don't want.
I'm imagining just a real asshole.
Yeah, right. Yeah, right, right.
Right.
Exactly.
Based on my father, this guy's a dick.
And all know? Of right, exactly. All of the writing has to reflect. You know, all the writing has to reflect certain emotional profiles.
Well, where's our robot then? We need to be in on this.
I know.
You can buy them. I think they retail.
No. They need to be basing these robots on us.
Oh,
yeah,
I see.
Ladies of podcasting.
Right,
the first
right.
ladies of podcasting, as we've been calling
them. Yeah, is it men and women who are doing this, or is this really coming from...
It's dudes, isn't it?
It's dudes, right?
Our writing team?
Yeah.
No.
There's women?
We actually made it a prerequisite of our...
That is awesome.
Yeah. You got to get
thank
the...
Thank God.
It's the same with our, you know, it's the same with our improv company. Like, it is kind of a traditionally... A boys' playground,
mm-hmm.
but you know the if anything, if modern pop culture has shown us everything with you know Tina Fey and Amy Poehler and these female comedians who have a voice whose voice need to be part of the lexicon of pop culture.
Yeah.
That's the way it's going.
Yeah.
Why,
that's a little
you
less
to
scary. Now I might be confused by robots. Women are in the mix. I'm like, she seemed all right yet. She was a toaster.
Right. You know? I definitely see where if it was presumed that it was a man's world, the robot and design technology, mm-hmm. that it would be inherently misogynistic.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think it is.
I'm on the fence. I think more women definitely need to get involved in it because the robots that come out, it's never the stuff that Katie and I imagine. Not that we're the arbiter of what all women want.
Right.
But we're also coming up with bad ideas like each robot does one thing.
Yeah, like I forget that a robot
yes.
can do a variety
yeah.
of functions. I'm like, I'm going to need so many robots. One
yeah.
to do the jars in
mm-hmm.
my house,
yeah.
one to do the cleaning.
And I was like, I need someone to do my files. That's one robot.
Mm-hmm.
And then a complete.
Robot,
and
yeah.
Meanwhile, now we have like 100 robots in each apartment that each does one thing.
Well, you know what's interesting is that you guys were talking about before, Jibo is like a household companion,
mm-hmm.
whereas the robots that you're imagining for your life are utilitarian.
Yeah, that's right.
They're basically slaves.
That's
yes,
right.
Yeah. That's what
I want. I know.
You know, I'm going to be honest.
Yep.
I don't need
right.
someone walking around giving me lips,
so,
mechanical or otherwise.
So think of in this hypothetical universe.
Women want
where all,
slaves. You busted
all,
us.
Exactly. Exactly.
Jobs busted right there.
In this hypothetical universe where robots are utilitarian, it's much more... realistic that the reverse image of that is the robots then that will rebel against their being slaves
not
to
if
kill
I
us all.
To do it. I'll unplug them in a hot minute.
Right.
However,
I'll take that power pack right out of
right.
yes.
If
yes.
we,
Katie, what happened to your robot got smashed. Sorry, yeah. The third one this week. Gave me lip.
Before you did, he went on the internet. He dialed up his other 4,000 robot buddies who are not waiting outside your door to burn your house down.
Yeah.
So
she has a magnetic smile, so, but don't take it.
It's so funny that like our fear of robots is directly reflective of our sort of evil intentions for robots.
That's right. Yeah. That's why we're afraid of them. I know if I were devising robots, there probably wouldn't be very many people left.
I don't know how they work, so I fear them.
But what about the Jetsons? Rosie, right? So we talk about Rosie. She was, yes, utilitarian. She cleaned the house and stuff.
She also gave attitude.
But she, and yes, and she, exactly. And yeah. She was part of the family.
Yeah.
And so.
That's where I draw the line.
Right. You wonder if off camera. if George Jetson was like, Rosie, I need you to clean up that mess in the bathroom, and she was like, go fuck yourself. Yeah, you know what I mean? Yeah. And
you
know what I mean?
Yeah. And I could squash you, rip off your
hand. Right.
And that would
right.
be the malfunction.
But you
and
like,
I could go all day.
You would
go
like all day. You would like to think that George Jetson was respectful of Rosie because of her place in the family unit. And a lot of the work that we're doing with these robots, for example, autistic kids.
Oh, okay.
So you got an autistic kid who has a hard time, learning something, or has a hard time wrapping their mind around something, and they're dealing with a human adult who has a limited tolerance for or limited amount of patience.
Right.
So you say something to the child doesn't quite get it, asks again. You got to do it 10, 15, 20 times.
Oh, yeah.
The robot, or especially for a young developing child. Mm-hmm. Could supply an infinite amount of patience and nurturing.
I have some friends who work with kids who are, in the autism spectrum, but we need to learn how to do that too.
We never will, though.
We can't just put all that onto robots.
Humans have to evolve.
Yeah,
and
we
become
need to
more,
evolve to that. And be sensitive to that.
But we're never, that's not going to happen.
No, not for everybody.
There's no way we're ever going to have an infinite amount of patience. It's part of what it means to be human. So why not? You know, if we're having a hard time opening a jar, right?
Why can't I need my hair braided today?
Because we don't have either the ability or the desire to struggle with that. Mm-hmm. Why don't we use robots to help us with other things that we struggle with?
It could be, I guess. I don't know. I guess I just don't trust the people who are making robots. I think that's a part of my problem.
Yeah, right. Well, ultimately, any machine is going to be a reflection of its creator. But think of cars. You could say that the same conversation happened when cars were invented. It was like, we ride our horse. It's our boy. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. We ride our horse buggy. We feed him every day. Why would we want to deal with this machine that's dangerous and could kill us and go so much faster?
But now we're going back in the other way. We don't want to deal with those machines. Like, we don't want to drive a car anymore.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, we want it to do its own thing. We want to have the relationship, I feel like, when we were growing up with a car, was, like, more personal. You gave
the car
a name. It represented freedom for you.
I'm pretty sure all those same rules could be applied to a robot. I'm pretty sure they're all given names.
To robot cars?
No, to robots themselves. Give it a name. It gives you freedom. Okay, so you want to get up in the morning. You only have a half-hour window. Why not? We have an auto-making coffee machine, but you still got to put in the grinds.
You're getting Katie with this one already.
Right. So
I know you like a coffee.
It'll give me freedom. So if I have the freedom of waking up in the morning to a hot cup of coffee, if I don't have a loving companion to do it for me.
Mm-hmm. Whose companion, loving or otherwise, makes some coffee in the morning?
Nobody.
I do it for my wife.
What? You do it for my house.
I don't do it every day, but I do it when I think of it or when I'm not super late, for sure. But it's a nice thing to wake up to a hot cup of coffee.
Yeah.
Boom.
Maybe
that's
you need
right.
to make a robot then, because it sounds right.
Yes, right. I wish I knew
the husband coffee robot.
Yes.
It was interesting. My husband and I were arguing about this whole robot thing, and he was like, why are women so freaked out by robots? And I was like, we're not freaked out. I'm not personally freaked about the robot. It's the guy who's making the robot. That's weird.
Right.
Yeah.
That's my idea.
They work really.
Yeah. I don't.
So then I'm like, I don't know.
Well, and also just like you guys know anything about Star Wars, that SETI, the defense,
in the 80s
that Reagan, I think, was involved in.
America's Death Star.
Theoretically, the development of that was bunk by science standards. Like the idea of creating a force field that could protect us.
I like the idea.
Yeah,
though.
Of course. Everybody, America was completely seduced by
it. It's just like in Dune, I just have a personal force field. Right. Unless you're moving slow, you can't.
It's magical, but it's scientific. where we were at in science at that point in time, it's completely unrealistic.
Yeah.
But yet, the desire to go after that and to pursue that technology opened up so many other doors regarding space
and regarding satellites.
Right. And if we would have never invested that money. But the interesting thing is that all of that was sourced in war. You know what I mean? Violence.
It always is.
And sourced in, like, which is again the middle, you know.
He was a big believer in aliens coming, an alien attack. And
actually, and the end of trees as well.
He was like, there's going to be, you know, a big alien attack maybe one day.
Right.
And then, and also, what it was, and he also kind of was welcoming it because that would be like that common enemy that would bring the world
right.
together.
Right. Totally.
He watched one too many science, slash
totally.
Appeared in one too many.
No, I love that. You know, my favorite book in the world is Ender's Game.
Really?
I loved it.
I have not read it.
That guy freaks me out.
Yeah, Orson Scott Card is a horrible person.
Yeah, he's a terrible human being.
More so, but I didn't know anything about the politics of the guy when I read it when I was like 17.
Let me put it this way. In the future, there's not all kinds of people. There's certain kinds of people.
Okay.
Some of us don't make it to the future.
Yeah, he has some questions.
I do, but some other people do not, which is interesting.
But in the book itself, the world's attacked by an alien invasion, and all war on Earth stops because now it's us. We're always looking for us versus them. You know what I mean? And you know, as soon as there's a new them, the us.
Supposedly,
changes.
We all work together. Although there's no evidence of that in the history of man.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah.
That we work together.
Well, there's also no evidence of an alien assault.
Alien attack. That hasn't happened yet.
I don't think it's too far to assume that wouldn't be the case.
Hmm.
But I guess the long and the short of it is that it's like people are going to use new technology. New technology is going to be it's going to be used in war or in aggression. Mm-hmm. That's where it starts, or defense protect us. You know what I mean? And I think you look at military field and way
which
robots.
We do. We're all over DARPA.
Right.
Yeah. You hear that, DARPA?
Yeah.
We got you.
We got our eyes on you.
Yeah.
I'm doing the finger to the eyes.
And we know your last robot fell down in the competition.
Yeah, we all saw the montage of the DARPA robot contest.
We're right.
His knees busted out. You guys didn't work on joints? It's like basic 101 robot.
Have you seen the robot bodysuits that allow older people who have bad hips and knees to walk upstairs and stuff?
We've seen
the exoskeletons.
We talked about those a little bit in a factory context, chairs.
Right, and it was like, it turns into a chair, too, so you can just sit down.
Yeah. And of course, it will help you stand up.
Yeah, we were afraid ours would just run off without us.
Yeah.
And go too
fast. We'd be locked in it forever.
Uh-huh. Yeah. we like you. And then they fuse to your body eventually.
Yes.
That's what they're going to do.
Right,
you can make like this.
I think exoskeleton sort of technology is genius. I think I have so many ideas that I'm almost afraid to talk about.
No, tell us what.
Because
the
problem
is,
involve knitting? Because mine does.
No, I'm not. Knitting isn't even in my top 100.
It involves the things that I do that are creative, that I get into positions where I'm uncomfortable, and then if I had this exoskeleton, I could paint all day or I could knit all day. You know what I mean? Like, there's certain things that I could do, or I could walk while I was doing something else.
Right.
This is why Katie could not have robots. She just said she was going to fight everybody.
I feel like because it's such a young industry, I'm always afraid to talk about it because this could be the million dollar idea.
They're already doing it. DARPA is showing us a running cheetah in the background.
Okay.
They have your full exoskeleton.
All right, then I will fess up.
And it looks like you.
Yes. My
hurting
my exoskeleton genius idea, which I'm sure you said, is already being made somewhere, is a fitness robot, an exoskeleton that will you put on and it will have you can do work, but it will provide exactly the appropriate amount of resistance for you based on what your strength level is.
That's not a bad idea.
I know. We talked about it on our show last week.
Is there a reason why that might not work?
What?
Is there any reason why that used to not work? Back in the 80s, they had these passive resistance tables.
Oh, that's right. Tables.
It was certain, you'd go on these tables and they would work your...
Right. It would be everything. It would isolate individual muscles based on, based on what you have to work. It would have you have to just get in it every day for a half hour. and it would go through, and it would be able to test your your body fat content. Your butt. It would also have a little, you know, speaker that would be your coach. You know what I mean, based
you
on your form.
And you're doing it. Great job.
And,
thank you,
it would have a little smoothie machine on it, too. good work. You know what I mean?
Stop me from putting wine and or vodka into that, because I need help with that.
Right. So
I
at the end of the
genius idea, but it's copyrighted right now. So, yeah. And it's now it's dated.
It's dated. It's done.
Oh.
You said it first.
So this
is that how that works? So the science of that works?
That's how it works on Hey You Know It. We copyright things all the time.
Thank you, guys. Thank you. I'd like a certificate. Can you give me a certificate?
It's a Hey You Know It copyright. We're lawyered up.
Good. Does that mean you guys kind of own it too?
A little bit.
Okay.
You know? A little bit. See how it does.
And we're kind of like VCs in the podcasting world. You know, we're angel investors.
Mm. Yeah.
We don't give
like
you anything,
it.
But
I
we
like
say
it.
We do.
You're imaginary.
Yes. We go with the idea.
And you whisper in my ear, that's a really good idea.
That's a good idea. We got 10% of it for you. That's not a bad idea.
Yeah, I think it
it's
would,
a great
I
idea.
Think, I think it would be great. And you know what I also love about it is that...
What else do you like about your idea?
My idea is that we talk about, you know, you look at like a Wall-E. Was it Wall-E?
The one with the big eyes.
The insufferable.
No. Maybe it's not Wall-E. Is that the one where all the humans are all like...
I think so. Where he didn't talk and he just kind of was on the planet or whatever.
No, maybe that wasn't Wall-E then. Maybe it was... It was one of the Pixar movies where the humans are all like they're obese and they all don't have chairs.
No, it's not Up. It's, I think it might be
it
Wall-E.
Was Wall-E. Yeah. And they just don't do anything anymore because robots have enabled them to be completely lazy. I still think like that as an individual. I still want to be fit. Mm-hmm. I want to eat healthy. Mm-hmm. I want to like be able to. I like the ability of being able to run up a set of stairs.
Yeah.
Even though I don't always want to do it, I like having the ability to do that. And like a machine like this. It's a machine that's actually making the carbon elements of myself better. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it's not like an abandonment.
Okay. So you're still keeping fit. You're still using the body.
Yeah.
But you're using it in
I'm not using it to make my body no longer relevant.
Okay.
See, that's great.
You know
I like
mean?
That. I know what you mean because, yeah.
Philosophically, from all robots, they should do that. You know what I mean? Yeah. A robot that teaches you to make coffee versus a robot that makes coffee for you.
I am more interested in the educational applications of it. Because, like, I'm a person who's really into linguistics, and I know that that is, you know, learning languages. I know that's an area where computers can be very, very helpful. Mm-hmm. But you do need some physicality to it as well to, like, get the full experience of trying to converse in another language. So that's interesting.
Right. Have you used Duolingo?
No, I have not.
No, you should totally
all right,
download
we'll
it.
We're getting
it's
recommendations.
Really fun. Duolingo is a free app on iPhone and on Android, and it's a teaching app that's just so fun.
I like that. I'm interested because I used to teach, taught English for years and years and years. And there are a lot of programs out there, but you need another element to it.
Right. Right. You know? Well, it's so great because it's multi-tiered sort of learning. So they have German, Italian, Spanish, French, and you have visual. So you talk into your machine and it grades you on that.
Oh,
then you have,
that's great.
Then you have typing. And then you have, there's a third element too. It reads to you and then you have to respond
to
what it translates.
So that's the best part.
And it also does the dopamine sort of release that every time you do like 10 questions and you get a point, you go up a level and you keep.
So you get excited.
You get the little carrot at the end of every level.
I love
a little glass of wine.
You do it on the airplane, people hate you because you're like, no habla. You're like yelling into your phone.
And then
everybody's
like,
why'd
that
geez.
Asshole get a point?
That was terrible. Totally.
So if we, what else are we talking about? Because we're almost out of time.
This is. I feel like we have so much more to talk about. I think we covered a lot of things here.
We're at 51.
I think that we should let listeners know where to find you.
Yeah, if people are looking to find more about Face Off and its permutations, where can they find you?
Yes, the good use of that word.
Thank you. Gotta use them sometimes.
Yeah,
it's
great. So we're faceoffunlimited.com. We're on Twitter at faceoffimprov. Obviously, BatsuNYC.com is everything for that show. You can also get to and through Batsu by going through our main website. We also teach classes.
I did not know that.
We have, in my opinion, one of the best. You know, for our school is a little different than
the
meat market of the other schools in terms of just the mass amount of. We're still small enough that you're not just dropping into a big swimming pool full of tons and tons of talent. Mm-hmm. It's more the people who take our classes. We get a lot of people who are non-performers who just want to enrich themselves with improv, you know, education.
And people should know that if you have never done anything at all, you can always take an improv class.
Yeah, for sure.
It's not just for people who consider themselves to be performers.
Totally.
It's one of these things. It's like what you find with an improv class, like basically like police officers and firefighters go through these drills, and they are trained to deal with high stress situations, mm-hmm. and so they can react calmly and think and move their bodies. And
attorneys take the classes.
Attorneys take
teachers take it. All kinds
Of
people. Just like guy on
public
streets.
Public speaking, the interconnectivity of the universe, you know, just being able to, and it's fun, and it's a social environment.
Yeah.
We like to train our talent for our stage. So
if you want to get pelted, people.
No. Or you want to show your nads.
You show your nads, which we do.
We show our nads.
Totally.
Side nad.
Totally. We are a small but ever-growing tiny little empire. Eventually we will take over the world before the robots do.
Okay. Robot improv.
Yes. Roboprov.
We're copywriting that piece. You can have 10% of your idea for that one.
That is Face Off. So I hope you can check us out.
Are you guys Twitter? Do you have any
Totally. Other? Absolutely. Face Off Improv.
Okay. Face Off Improv.
Yeah. Anyone in New York, go see these shows and go
to your friends. If you're not from New York, come to New York and see the show.
Right. And tell your friends who are in New York, go and see it.
Yeah.
Really.
Invite us.
And we also tour. Time. We also have a tour show that goes around the country as well. So, so we may come to you. Yeah. We do mostly, you know, performing arts centers and universities.
They're not going to wait for you to come to them, people. They're bringing it to you.
Yeah, that's right.
Watch out.
That's
Watch
right.
Out.
Big country, not a lot of us, so it takes a lot of time for us to get everywhere.
Well, thanks so much for coming
so
in.
Much.
We really appreciate
really
it.
Thank you for the dark chocolate and the coffee-ish beverage.
Your
favorite. Yeah, good luck with that. All right, cool.
That was awesome.
Thank you for listening to Hey You Know It. Stay in touch with us during the week. Follow us on Twitter. Follow us on Tumblr. Go to iTunes and leave us a 5-star review. We'll read it on an upcoming show, regardless of content.
As always, we love your emails. Send us an email at heyyouknowit@gmail.com with your comments, questions, and segment ideas. Emails will also be read on upcoming shows.
Please tell your friends about us, because you know we don't advertise. And let them know we can be found on iTunes, at Stitcher.com, and at heyyouknowit.com. Thanks.
And
are you gonna go for that as well? Katie just took a sip of some kind of weird almond cocoa thing.
The
face that I got from that was that's
so
not
what
tasty.
Is the verdict?
It's all
prognosis.
It's Califia Farms. There are so many details on this bottle.
You guys don't
it's
even
extraordinary.
Know what it is.
I picked them up, I didn't know what it was.
You know what the name of the animal is.
You know,
you don't know what
right, exactly. Right. The thing is like if you're going to have a coffee product like this, it's diluted enough that it's no longer coffee. It's espresso, it's cold brew, it's with almond milk, it's soy free, and it's dairy free. There's so many different things on here.
There's nothing in there. It's free everything.
I wonder how much.
It almost tastes like there's some kind of like booze in it, but there's
and also the
that's the toxicity.
I'm like, is it Turkish? Is it Greek? What's going on? Like, I have no idea.
Do you want to sip?
No, thank you. Not after I saw your face.